Listening to Coffee with Kenobi, you are, with Dan Z and Corey Club, the podcast you're looking for. This is, yes.
For an entire generation, people have experienced Star Wars the only way it's been possible, on the TV screen. But if you've only seen it this way, you haven't seen it at all.
This is the podcast you're looking for.
We've been waiting for you.
The Force is strong here, even stronger than the coffee.
Welcome to Coffee with Kenobi. Here are your hosts, Dan Z and Corey Club.
DK Publishing recently released Ultimate Star Wars, and the book more than lives up to its name. At 320 pages, the comprehensive book is a detailed encyclopedia of the Star Wars galaxy that is also the first canonical resource for both old and new fans alike. Adam Bray and Tricia Barr co-authored this amazing work, along with Daniel Wallace and Ryder Windham. And we are honored to have Adam and Tricia return to Coffee with Kenobi to share their experiences writing the book. Welcome back, Adam and Tricia.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Howdy.
It's good to be back with you on Coffee with Kenobi. And of course, Corey and I had such a fun time the first day of Celebration Anaheim, waiting in line for you to get to the digital stage. And the three of us together got to experience that trailer as fans and as friends and with thousands of people. That was quite an experience.
Wasn't that awesome? It worked out really well that you guys showed up just about the same time I did.
It was perfect.
So that was really cool. Perfect way to start out the convention.
It really was. The DK helicopter landed and that came and
parachuted out. Yes.
Once we were able to get through to you, it worked out perfect. So, well, let's go ahead and talk about Ultimate Star Wars, such an amazing book, so incredibly popular too. Still, at the time of this recording, number one on Amazon.com. How did you learn that you will be working on Ultimate Star Wars?
Right. Well, I continue to be, you know, surprised and really grateful for every new book I get from DK to work on. So, but to get a book like that, which is it's such a milestone for DK, but also for Lucasfilm on one of the most important years for Star Wars in a long time. So yeah, I was really excited, and I just got an email from the editors telling me about it, I heard about it, I think not too long before we even started on it. We really had sent
out one of those
out, so, but,
tickle
yeah,
emails where you just say, "Hey, remember me?" Because I've been talking with DK about doing some work, and usually you get a nice response, and the response was, "We actually have a project. Would you be interested in? And it's a really tight timeline, and you would have to write this much stuff. Can you do it?" And I'm like, "Yes." And that was how it happened.
Wow. And then, so how long before you picked yourself up off the floor? Because I certainly would have fallen off the floor.
Well, I had to pick myself up off the floor because I had stuff to do. I had to start almost right away. So it was like one of those things where you didn't realize you were doing what you were doing until you're up at 2 a.m, I think. So this is quite a first way to do it.
And it certainly is a feat to put together a book like this. Obviously you guys have four authors that are involved in putting this compendium together, and it's called the Ultimate Star Wars collection here, characters and creatures and stuff and vehicles and landmarks. And I'm curious to know too, as it's divided up, the way it's divided up is beautiful. The images and everything look great. There was a lot of hard work that was put into this. So you guys have definitely put your hours in. I'm curious to know how was the collaboration style too, to do with one another during this process?
Well, DK, as you mentioned, they divided it up between the four of us. So there was Tricia and Dan Wallace and Ryder Windham and I. And they just asked us before we got started, which sections were we interested in. And I, because I've been doing so much work with Star Wars Rebels, that was immediately the one section that I absolutely wanted And then I got to work on a lot of entries from Star Wars: A New Hope, and little bits from Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi. But yeah, it was basically divided up according to what our interests and our strengths were. You mentioned the images, and we each gave suggestions of the images that we wanted for our own sections, and then DK and their group just spent the entire time up until, you know, the very last minute, just looking for the absolute best possible images that they could get, you know, working with Lucasfilm to see what was available. And so those,
you know,
those would even change, you know, while we were working, just to try to find something better and better,
stuff, especially to put the best possible. Didn't have an answer out, because they had certain things that they wanted for, like, you know, appearances in movies, or, you know, this character, like, timeline. Well, I'm not really sure if they die or live. So those type of things, every once in a while, you just be like, well, I need some guidance, or you'll have to ask. And then everything else was pretty much dictated what we had to do and what we needed to write and when we needed to write it. And there was a wonderful lady, Jan Hughes, who kept us all marching in the right direction. So she's sort of the unsung hero of this book.
Yeah, she was great. She was fantastic.
Well, I think you certainly got an A on that, because it's an amazing book. It's beautiful. And it's also canon, Adam, which is an incredible thing. It's also the new definitive guide to the mythology of Star Wars. What does it mean to you that you were helping to shape canon? And how did that affect your writing?
It's still pretty amazing. I mean, I still don't think the gravity or the reality of it has actually set into me. 'Cause the funny thing about, you know, working on these Star Wars books is, you know, we're all working from home. So, you know, we're doing our own individual, you know, part in the book, and it doesn't really hit me, you know, what's happened, what, you know, what I've achieved, until I go to something like Star Wars, you know, Celebration, and I can, you know, meet everybody, meet the readers, meet, you know, the other people at Lucasfilm in person, and talk about the book, and, you know, discuss the finished product, and really, you know, the reality sets in. But, you know, when I'm sitting at home, you know, it's I'm focused on doing the research and doing the work. But yeah, I'm really excited, really grateful that I got the opportunity to contribute and to, you know, spend time in this great material.
I understood how important it was to people, and in the many different ways that people approach Star Wars. So some people, that's the details and the facts and planets and locations and the vehicles and the technology. And so sometimes I felt like I needed to research some of that stuff even harder, as far as, you know, making sure I got the tech right. I would go into, there are these people with websites that break down Han Solo's DL-44, you know, just to get make sure you had the right picture of it in the book and that kind of stuff. So, you know, there was not a lot of maybe continuity when they were filming with his blaster. So there's many different versions. So, you know, I had to make sure that kind of stuff. And then just being, for me, the key moments, and really making sure that when I wrote the ones that I did, that I really disseminated what the lore was in those key moments, those themes that are going to be used going forward. So I was very honored and appreciative of how people would use this going forward.
And that's neat too, because not only is your writing affecting the new canonical direction, but your research is too. And, you know, for a writer, that's such an important thing.
It is. And it's like crazy when you hear people say, I've already used this book 4 times. I know, like, Lucas Siegel tweeted that, and I was sort of like, wow, you know, people are using this for their reference. So
Yeah, and definitely in writing a book like this, or really any reference book for DK, and probably any Star Wars book at all, the majority of time that is spent working on this is in the research. The actual writing that I do for any Star Wars book is a very small part of the time that I spend.
I'm glad you brought that up because, you know, like you said, with this being such a large project, you know, for you guys, was it something that came easily? And what other sources did you refer to when you were directed? Were you directed anything specific besides the films or the two TV series?
For me, of course, I do look at, you know, my Blu-rays and DVDs of the movies and the shows, but, you know, I'll use anything that's you know, available to me. You know, I'll search the internet, but, I've, you know, over the years acquired a pretty substantial Star Wars library. So, you know, I'll go back through and reference and look stuff up in books and novels and comics as there's time is always the limiting factor in this, so you know, because you got to get a certain amount of work done every single day. But yeah, I'd search everything that was available to me.
I had the Clone Wars pretty much running all the time because I wrote most of the Clone Wars characters. So I had, that's a large body to, you know, you could sometimes look things up, but other things, especially when you're trying to condense. Shuggie's my favorite example because she's in a lot of episodes and I think she had 50 words. So I have to make it count.
Wow.
And so you're going through, and I also use StarWars.com's Clone Wars, the episode guides. They were very helpful. And obviously I knew that Pablo and Leland were putting that information in. So that data bank was always helpful because a couple times I had gotten a no, it's not. And then I'm like, yeah, it says that in the StarWars.com data bank. So it has to be right. So,
well, especially when you know those two are behind the scenes with that too. That helps a lot.
Yes, it does. So, right. Yeah, some of the Ewoks, I was a little bit, well, because you're trying to make up 50 or 100 words about an Ewok that appears on screen that doesn't really have, unless you just want to say what they do on screen. And
sure.
So.
Well, and yeah, that's, yeah. Go ahead, Brad. Go ahead, Adam.
Oh, I was going to say, having all these, you know, the movies and the TV shows digital now, you know, having them on iTunes and whatnot is a wonderful tool because now I find, you know, while I'm writing, as Tricia alluded to, I can have that file, you know, playing in the background on my computer screen, you know, all day long. And just to be able to, you know, flip through it and fast forward and jump around at will on the computer, which is a bit easier than doing it on, you know, a DVD or a Blu-ray. It's such a handy thing when you're writing.
It's no VHS, oh. Right?
Yeah.
Right. Well, I still have my beta, so, you know. Well, that's pretty cool.
Oh, man.
I know. That's even Brian Young. Well, Brian probably has that. Who are we kidding? So you've both been talking about how there were certain basic areas of the genre of Star Wars, of the field, you know, Clone Wars and Rebels. Did you get to say, hey, I'd like to write about this particular avenue, or was it sort of handed to you?
I think Ryder had first choice.
Yeah, I could see that.
And he's earned it.
He's earned it, yeah. And some of it seemed kind of to fall naturally. Obviously, Adams worked on Rebels, so he knew that stuff. And Daniel Wallace has written tons of stuff and definitely coming up through the prequel era. And the Clone Wars, I like it, so I didn't really complain. And I got to do some fun things that weren't Clone Wars, like the Millennium Falcon. Luke and Leia were some of my favorites. So. Wow.
And all your great articles on Insider. I mean, that's a nice juxtaposition there, too, because you have a lot of background on that, obviously.
Well, it helped, too, when you're trying to... So for those main character pages, you have to give three or four stories about that character, sort of define who they are and figure out a way to do that. So you don't want to get Luke and Leia wrong because right. Everybody's going to check that one and everybody has an opinion on those characters. So those were definitely, and I've, I did a Luke specific watch of the movies, and I did a Leia specific watch, and then I didn't have to do Han Solo, but I ended up going back and doing Han Solo later on. And it's always cool to kind of do that and see what a character is and just isolate everything else out in your mind.
Yeah, well, and it's really amazing coming at this as coming at Star Wars as a writer, because you'd think, you know, I'm you know, almost 40 years old, you know, and I've watched these movies and the TV shows over and over again, and you know, you'd think by now you know everything and you know it all by heart, but when you've actually got to write about it and dissect it, you realize, gosh, there's so much that I miss every single time I watch this. It's not until, you know, I go and I have to stop frame by frame to understand what's actually going on in the background with this character. So you learn a tremendous amount in the course of writing these kinds of books.
Yeah, and the writing is exquisite. I mean, the four of you are obviously top-notch writers. There's no question about that. And not only do you have this beautiful prose that you have put together, but the layout of the book is amazing too. It's a storytelling device and it's a visual guide. Did you know the format of this book from the beginning? And what was it like when you first got to hold this book and examine it in person?
I looked at it after everybody else did.
Yeah.
Well, when we went in line with Adam in celebration, we said we got the book already and we were looking at it. He says, oh, I haven't even seen it yet.
Yeah, that's the thing. Often with books, and it was the same way when I have written for travel guides. You often don't see the finished product until, you know, maybe after the rest of the public does, when you get your copy. So, but the format did evolve, you know, while we were writing. I know some of the pages, the way they started out, looked very different. It would change several times while I was writing, and then the finished product was very different. So I think the layout pretty much all goes to DK and Cameron in doing that.
Yeah, and so you would maybe pick your pictures, right, for your page, and you might have Yoda on several different pages, and then they'd realize, well, we want that Yoda on that page, so they would have to switch your picture, and then you would have to switch your little identifier. So, and they might be adjusting to, you know, size. So every once in a while it's like, can you adjust it to different words or can you change this or stuff like that? So there is definitely a moving target, and it ended up a beautiful package when they were
right.
Done.
It is. Corey, are you completely living vicariously through them right now?
I am.
The
process, and just at least say getting up, pick out your own pictures. Everybody has that favorite moment, you know, they want to put for certain characters, certain planets, certain weapons and ships and things. But I'm curious to know as well. I mean, anything that goes into a project like this, there's bumps in the road. There's issues that come up here and there. What are some of the biggest challenges you guys faced in this process?
Biggest challenges. I think for me, just the shortness of time that was involved. When you're writing a book like this, you never have, you know, enough time. Well, I guess, yeah, I mean, you make do with what you've got, but you always, you know, wish you had more. And dealing with the issues of, you know, where canon is now, and, you know, how do you talk about, you know, creatures from the cantina that, you know, were only on screen for a few seconds, or, you know, some of those X-wing pilots, you know, you just see very briefly, and how do you write an entry about them in this new, you know, new age of the new Star Wars canon that we have. So that was probably the biggest challenge for me.
My biggest challenge was, it just felt like, you know, when you're in college or high school and you have like four papers due and you have to get them all done. That's what it felt like. Like, it was just, you were just being manic trying to write as much as you could. You knew how many you had to hit in a day. And it would seem like the little characters would be easier, but they're harder. And, you know, you to try to figure out what you can say about that character, like the X-Wing pilots or all the little, you know, auxiliary characters in the Clone Wars. So sometimes that was a challenge, just to make sure you got that right.
Well, most certainly. And just the experience itself. For people who are listening right now who have never really written to this style, and a lot of people haven't, of course, but how much time would you say you had to invest every evening, or was it during the day? What was your writing process like?
For me, I'm a very slow writer. And so writing is my full-time job. I would start from the time I got up in the morning until bedtime. It occupied all day for me. Just a full-time job.
Glad Adam said he's a slow writer too.
So. I'm shy. I'm always really shy to admit that because you always expect that that some of the writers who've been doing this longer than you are a faster writer. But some of us professionals are pretty slow at it actually.
I'm not a fast writer either, but if I know what I want to say, it happens much quicker for me. So I might look at something in the morning, and I do have a full-time job. So I would maybe look at something, write a couple in the morning, go to work and think about things, just let them churn in the back of my head. Like, how do I want to do that? And that was fun, especially some of the tech things. You're like, these could be really dry, or you can make them a little interesting, but you have to maybe let the brain sit on them and spin them around a little bit until it's like, aha, that's how I can make it cute.
Well, and honestly, full disclosure, when I got the book, the very first thing I did, and you'll appreciate this, Tricia, particularly, I turned to the Padme section. I thought, did Tricia tweak her dying of a broken heart? That was the first thing I checked. And it's still there.
No, I didn't get to do Padme. So, no. Those are the things I tried to do. If there was room for things to be interpreted a different way, I tried to make sure that I didn't interpret anything for people. And for future storytellers, that's like my big thing is I don't want to see just canon created for the sake of creating it. And then eventually that it has to be in conflict with something. So I always try, I would do that when I was writing. Am I creating something that's not really what I would say more of like maybe a fanon as opposed to what is really canon, what really happens.
Sure. So. And thank you, both of you. And of course, Dan and Ryder too, for doing that, because what you're doing is what Lucas did. You're helping to create this tapestry of Star Wars, and you're still allowing it for it to be interpreted and enjoyed by everyone. So thank you both very much for doing that.
No problem.
You're welcome.
So here's the big question. Why is Ultimate Star Wars the book that Star Wars fans need? And I say need purposefully, of course.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and I'm looking at it right now, as we're talking. I mean, there's just nothing like it.
Yeah. Go ahead, Adam.
Oh, no, you go ahead.
I know I already use it. It's something that you can just... it's a great resource because you could just be watching the movie and flip. And if you want to see something, it goes right in chronological order. But it's something that will be there. I see it too, not only as something to use going forward, it's also a historical marker of where we were when it kicked all back off again. Mm-hmm. And so for me, it's a little bit of both. It's nostalgia and what we were. And someday, 10 years from now, we'll look at it and be, wow. That's what Star Wars was, because we won't just remember that naturally, because we'll be so into just how much it's changed and evolved. So I think it's both. It's a great resource. I've always loved guidebooks, even as a fanfic writer. And when I would have discussions with people on message boards about things, I was digging into those books to, make sure I was saying the right thing when we were, heatedly debating things.
Yeah. And it, It's funny, actually, because, you know, I'm working on some my next projects for DK Star Wars now. And come to think of it, I've several times already used Ultimate Star Wars as a reference material for what I'm working on. So I'm looking to see not only what, you know, my other co-authors, Tricia and Dan and Ryder, have written about various things. I'm also going back and looking at what I wrote, you know, because I don't necessarily remember everything I wrote. So I'm already using it for future Star Wars stuff. So it's very handy, and it sets the foundation of okay, this is where we are with Star Wars now, and so that you have readers will have, you know, the ultimate foundation when they go and, you know, view the next season of Rebels or whatever, you know, whatever Disney and Lucasfilm come up with next.
Absolutely. And just to add to that question, I know my kids probably read it more than me. So for the new generation of fans looking to, you know, catch up on Clone Wars characters they might have missed, or, you know, dive into some of the ships or planets or something like that, that they really can, you know, get some really great details and some photos that look gorgeous on the page here, and just be able to soak it all in. So I applaud you guys again for giving a source to new generations to pick up and pore over.
It's written as an adult book, but we had a lot of kids buying it. Mm-hmm. So I think kids read smart, you know, they read better than we give them credit for sometimes. They can absorb all this stuff.
It's true. I see it every day, and I'm always very relieved to see that happen too.
So I have one more question for you guys. You know, now the book is out, and looks like you guys have been doing some rounds of signing and things like that. What are the fans saying to you as they're getting their book signed? What are some of the some of the questions are coming from fans and folks looking over this book and getting it signed?
Well, I'm getting a lot of questions just about various, you know, the various characters that people are interested in, whatever is dear to them. You know, they'll ask me about, you know, is this canon or is that canon? And, you know, they'll ask me, is this character, that character in there? You know, some of the things that hits me are how much Ahsoka comes up in conversation, that she's really become kind of the Luke Skywalker of this generation, that whether you're a boy or a girl, you know, or a kid or even an adult, that Ahsoka has kind of become the new focus for the moment. And I think that's really cool for a character that started out, kind of obnoxious and the people were critical of, that she kind of has become the heart of Star Wars for a period in time. So that's pretty cool that I've seen, as we go along.
It's true. Ahsoka means, it's kind of interesting, you know, for a lot of us who associate with the OT or the prequel trilogies, to think that some people, their Star Wars is the Clone Wars. And she was very important to me. It was fun to write her page, and I actually got to pitch that I was writing going to write an article about Ahsoka for the Star Wars Insider right up on stage at Celebration. So I said many of the same things that Adam just said in that piece later this year. But yes, I feel like she's very, and so you had a lot of people, at least for me, that were just interested in, you know, asking, you know, a lot of people wanted to know about the defining line between canon and what is and isn't. And a lot of people wanted to know if Lucasfilm had overseen what we were writing. And yes, they had a hand in picking what characters, and then it was reviewed at the end. So we got notes from, you know, Pablo and Leland. So it was looked at. It's what Lucasfilm wanted.
It's wonderful. And you, Tricia, you're about to embark on some really fun times at Star Wars Weekends, aren't you?
Yes, I'm driving up in the morning, which probably by the time you play this, I'll have driven up in the morning and get to do some interviews with, let's see, who's there this week? We got Steve Bloom and Daniel Logan. So, yeah,
that'll be fun. Yeah.
Yeah, I just posted on Fangirls Going Rogue the Tia Sarkar interview, which is so exciting because we had wanted to speak to her. So she's a blast.
You know, I listened to that and I thought it was wonderful. She, what a fun person she is.
She is. And it's fun to see, you know, she talked about, you know, enjoying Star Wars with her mom, enjoying Rebels. And I would love for her mom to give Dave Filoni notes.
To be a fly on the wall for that.
She said, you should tell him. She's like, yeah, you can tell him, Mom. I want to keep my job. But she's out, you know, just to see all the families at Star Wars Weekends is like crazy. So Amy Ratcliffe and I sat out at the Rebel Hangar, which is their little restaurant there that they made up. And we sat outside and watched the Jedi Training Academy, I think 4 times it ran while we ate. So it was like, I'm like, this is perfect. This is awesome to watch all the kids become Jedi.
Such a neat thing. And Adam, I know you and I have talked about this before, but I've loved so much seeing all of your adventures on Facebook, all the places that you've been.
Oh, thank you.
Lots of fun. So for both of you, Adam and Tricia, what are your next projects that you're allowed to speak about? And how can people get in touch with you if they want to ask you a question or just say hello?
Sure. Well, let's see. My next appearances, they're the last on the official Ultimate Star Wars tour. I think some of us might have some unofficial events after that. But my next appearances are in the Chicago area. I've got one at the bookstall on June 5th. And then the next one is Saturday, June 6th at Joliet Public Library for their annual Star Wars Festival. And that should be a lot of fun. But for my next projects, I have Lego Star Wars Into Battle, which is a small reader for ages 8 to 12. That's coming out in July. And then in the fall, I've got a new book, Star Wars, Absolutely Everything You Need to Know. And that's part of the journey to The Force Awakens. And that's already for available for pre-order. And then I'm working on some other things that'll come out later in the year.
And I have 3 articles already queued up in Star Wars Insider. So we're staying on that Hero's Journey series, which has been a lot of fun to write. Obviously, I mentioned Ahsoka, but there's 2 more before that.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe if you've seen the advertisement for the next Insider, there's a character who's larger than life in that, and you'll figure out who I'm writing about next as a hero. And he will be in The Force Awakens also.
Cool.
Ooh.
So much fun.
And then obviously signing at Star Wars Weekends week 3. And then I'm going back week 5 for part of the Rebel Force Radio meetup. So we will be meeting with fans and sharing Star Wars there. And then, you know, the rest of my future is, how would Yoda say, undetermined.
Difficult to see.
Difficult to see, yes.
Perfect. Well, Adam and Tricia, thank you again so much for coming back to Coffee with Kenobi, talking about Ultimate Star Wars. We will have links on our show notes to purchase a book. You can find it on Amazon, at Barnes & Noble, Books a Million, wherever fine books are sold. Thank you both so much for your time and your talents and for sharing a cup of coffee or tea with us, as the case may be.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you, guys.
And have a great night.
You too.
You too.
Chewie, get us out of here!
If you would like to respond to our question of the show, have a comment, or just want to say hello, send us an email or MP3 at feedback@coffeewithkenobi.com. Or if you have a specific question or comment for either of us individually, email us at danz@coffeewithkenobi.com or coreyc@coffeewithkenobi.com, or visit us at coffeewithkenobi.com and click on the Contact Us section or comment on one of the stories featured on the site. If you enjoy the show, please write a review in iTunes or Stitcher. You can also like the show on Facebook at facebook.com/coffeewithkenobi, as well as keep up to date at our Twitter feed at Coffee with Kenobi. You can also find us on Tumblr at coffeewithkenobi.tumblr.com. If you enjoy the jazz music, the album is Eye to Eye by Steve Torak.
Give the evacuation code signal. This podcast is not endorsed by the Walt Disney Company or Lucasfilm Limited. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. The official Star Wars website can be found at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, all names, sounds, and any other Star Wars related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Disney and their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of Coffee with Kenobi unless otherwise indicated.
This is the podcast you're looking for.
There's no one here. Move along. Move along.